Welcome back to the If You Build It podcast. I'm Riyad Ali with my co-host,
Will Ellis. And again, this podcast celebrates entrepreneurs. Please follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. I'm very excited. Today's guest is Brent, owner of Creator Services. Thank you, Brent, for joining us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, so it's long-winded, but I'll try to keep it pretty quick. So I went to school for something fun, music business management. My dad worked at GM. I was like, I do not want to do that. I wanted to get into this program. I used to be a backup dancer at the time. So that was like...
A backup dancer?
Yeah.
Anybody famous?
You might know a couple music videos at that specific time with Sean Desmond. He's like a Canadian artist.
Yeah.
So it was cool because my aunt taught at Durham College and Sean's agent at the time knew the program coordinator of that specific course. And I got waitlisted. I had a 93 average in high school and I really wanted in this program. So I went in and I started messaging the admissions, eventually got in there, worked there, did it 3 years, worked at the college while I was a student. And I worked in music festivals. So big Canadian music festivals for about 6 years, ended up being the assistant to the founder of those festivals, helping with merchandising, PR, special guests, hospitality, accreditation on site, those type of things. And then eventually I was like, I think I need to get experience at an agency because like a well-rounded marketing resume has agency and brand experience.
Right.
So a really cool opportunity came close to home. I took that opportunity as an account manager, ended up being there for 3 years, left as the director of accounts and strategy. And all while that was happening, I was building a personal brand in the background and I started my blog on Tumblr. And that's what I still operate today is Boy Who Blogs. So I was covering entertainment news, celebrity gossip, stuff like that. And then I honestly just transitioned like very like live in the moment, show my community what I'm doing, like nothing's off limits. And ultimately how I would position Boy Who Blogs is mixing business with personal. So I share what it's like to be an entrepreneur in a very like chill way. But that has led me to get clients. And why I left my previous role was because I was getting a lot of clients from my personal brand. So it was my partner at the time that was like, maybe you should like do your own thing. So I had taken Creator Services and I believe this is 3 years, if not 4 years, of being full time.
So how do you help businesses?
So ultimately it's building, positioning and like sustaining their brand. So that could look like a variety of things depending on where that specific client is in their journey. I try to avoid the graphic design, the visual branding, but that's a huge piece that a lot of the times if someone comes to me, say for a website or they need pretty much anything done, the first thing I'll ask them is about their brand identity. So that's even before the visual branding. It's why I'm unique compared to anybody that does what I do, how I write, how I speak, my personal values. So what I would, you know, stand up against, those type of things. It's a little bit more dry. I do teach it at the college as well. And then the visual branding is really like a projection of that image. So if you want to be, you know, certain keywords or you want to appeal to a certain demographic, we use color theory and other things like iconography and fonts to position you that way.
Color theory.
Yeah.
Well, Brent did our branding.
Yes, you did our branding. Yeah. What is color theory?
So little things like the one thing that's so common that I always say is like dark red tends to be a little bit more like sexier. And then if you think of like a kid's first birthday, you might think of like lime green and like a bright blue. So it's those feelings. And honestly, it's a lot of psychology behind those colors. And that should be, if done right, really a projection of that brand identity. So that like solid underlying understanding of your brand, that core value, who you serve, how you serve them. And then we look at the visuals and then we might put the content together, written content, photography, video into something like a website or a marketing campaign or source influencers. Like it really depends on the client, the project and where they're at. So if they have all of that and they just have budget to spend, that's really where I want to position the agency and continue to push it that way is how much do you want to spend? What's the duration? And then from there, I'll come up with the strategy of how we would best spend that as if you were, you know, my best friend or my sister or whatever it is. I really want to make sure that we're getting the best results and building your brand.
Oh, interesting. So when you, when you are working with a client, so if a client approaches you,
yeah,
like what are the first, like I'm trying to think how we approached you when we did our stuff, but I think we just,
You knew what you wanted.
We had an idea of what we wanted.
Yeah.
But most people may not have that idea. So when someone reaches out to you, sort of how's that first conversation? How's that first conversation go?
So it's a lot of like education for sure that I do. And that leads to a lot of like coaching, consulting, and speaking in front of like brokerages or associations or whatever it might be. But it's really figuring out like, where are you on this, let's say like 6-step journey? And then making sure, because something that I'm really like key about and like is really valuable to me is transparency and honesty. And I don't expect like a client to come in here or come and speak to me and know all of this, but I do feel like it's my due diligence to at least educate them on like, do you have a good brand identity? Yes or no, that's up to you to figure out. But if we end up writing captions for you, or there's, let's say, worst case scenario, like a PR crisis, and we can't go back to that brand identity, I'm always going to be like, I told you. Remember we talked about that? Mm-hmm. You didn't listen to me. Right. So it's making sure they understand sort of like the best steps to go through. I just had like a call today with somebody that wants a website, but they have no photos, no written content, anything like that. And that's a tough project to just take on like that, because you're spinning your wheels and you're ultimately doing design in a web project. And that's, I'll say to like the client on the call is like, this is kind of a workaround to do your branding. And I just don't operate that way, because you're going to want to know the colors. You're going to want to know all of that, hopefully to be consistent with it. Right. But you shouldn't be doing that in a web project. You should be working with a graphic designer. So honestly, it really depends where the client's at. But a huge part of it is just making sure that they understand the bigger picture, and then they can make that decision and we can chat back and forth of where are they right now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What are the biggest trends right now in like marketing?
Oh, I think like beyond video is like a huge thing, right? Like everybody's sort of like seeing that. And I guess my perspective on video, it's funny because I say this about my business and I hope it doesn't sound cocky, is like, I just feel like I'm a little like far ahead. Like clients will come to me and be like, should I be using Instagram or should I be on TikTok? And I'm like, well, what else are you doing? And it's usually not much. Yeah. So that kind of allows them to answer themselves. Yeah. So I think we're looking at more of a, I hate to say like authentic, because that's a really like word. It's just overdone. But I think it's like pulling the curtains back, and we're really starting as like maybe a society. I don't want to get too hippy dippy, but realizing that like we're all kind of human. We're all doing the same thing. And I think where the pain point is, and where I really try to work with my clients, is to like understand that what you do isn't often enough to get that client. And what I mean by that is like, when I'm hiring someone to do my bathroom, like I have no idea if they're good. Like the pictures might be good, but they might show up late, or they might cut a corner a little janky, or whatever it might be. They usually pick you based off of like how you position yourself. And that could be, you know, those little elements of your brand that I would say should be in your social strategy.
Right.
So that's my thoughts anyways. I think it really is just using video in a way that is a little less production, still maintaining production.
Right. That's interesting, because other people have told us that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So another question, now we're talking about trends. As you're a business owner and 4 years in,
mm-hmm.
what have you learned the most in 4 years when it comes to interacting with your potential or current clients?
Ooh, well, I think, again, I would say that I'm a little unique. Like I'm pretty like myself. And I think that that's something that typically wasn't ingrained in me. Like a lot of times when I think of business, like everybody would say like to basically treat the client like they know everything. And I do quite the opposite.
I like your honesty. Yeah. Working with you is like, I go, that's great. He's blunt with that.
Yeah.
But
I'll be honest, I think that's a reflection of like when I was working in the music industry, my boss was gorgeous, worth a lot of money, and people were intimidated from her. And I remember she asked me a question about like why people were like that around her. And I said, like, you're kind of scary. But I always gave them like the honest answer. So it could be as simple as like, do I look okay? And you might say yes, but I might be like, oh, you've got lipstick on your teeth, or you do have like a little like flyaway. It's those like genuine things that like certain people might not tell you. But for me, it's like, if I'm hiring someone and I don't know what I'm talking about, or like if it's real estate, like I really do hope you're going to guide me, because I don't know what I'm doing. So I try to make sure that my clients know that like your best interest is in there, and you might love or hate what I have to say, but that's who I am. And that's usually where people make that decision pretty quick, because I can't handle this guy or I can tolerate him.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your journey.
Sure.
Was there ever a time where you didn't want to do this, where you're like, this is not for me and I need to go back to what I went to school for, or something completely different?
Well, I think what I went to school for is really unique because at the time there was no like influencer type business. So really when I reflect on like the courses and like the actual education and merchandising and contract law and all those courses I took, I am 100% happy with the like program that I took. I think where I look at my journey, and it's funny because my partner asked me recently, like, if you could just give it all up, would you? And my honest answer was yes. Like I've built up a social media business where I'm on a lot. My clients call a lot, but as soon as that stops, the business stops. So yeah. If I could just go, you know, live on a farm and take care of animals and not worry about revenue, I probably would, but we're a little too deep now. Yeah, but right. I love what I do and I'm happy that I've carved out this space to do what I want, when I want, how I want. And that's the dream. So sometimes I just need to be grateful for what I have.
And was there ever a struggle?
I think the struggle is like a constant thing. Like it's always comparison, but for me, and I think this is something that I really try to like preach and share with my clients, is it's all mindset, especially when it comes to like creating content, putting yourself out there. Like as soon as that mindset's gone, like you really don't have much else to offer. So I continue to like work on that, but I honestly do love like the connections that I've built or being able to go on social media and ask for a recommendation and to get like honest responses. So the value exchange between like my community and my clients is there. So I have to check that because I am in a really like good spot and I can see that privilege that I have. Yeah.
Privilege. Look at you.
I would say, because I think like a lot of people, when I think of like, what's the dream? It's like flexibility to work from wherever, to have the car that's on your vision board. It's like,
do you have that car?
Yeah, it's on the vision board. 2023's vision board. It was on it. So it's like, I don't know what I want because I don't have it. And that's like, I don't want to fall into this. And a lot of the people that I work with are high achievers, or whether it's like a follower count, they never feel like they're big enough. And this could be like numbers like 2 million subscribers on YouTube. I've heard that from like some of my clients, like that's never enough. So having worked with that, or even being in music and working with celebrities, like it really never ends. They're always chasing that next thing. So for me, I want to make sure that like I stay a little bit grounded and I'm always aware of that.
Wow.
Interesting. Not to go too deep.
So, well, you said you created I guess it's a yearly vision board.
So funny enough, I create a personal vision board. So it's just like me, what I want to accomplish. And then me and my husband, we do a shared vision board. So we usually go to like Starbucks and we open up a shared Canva doc and we just pump it out. And yeah, so we've got like a couple's one and we've got an individual one.
Are they interesting?
They're laminated. They're in our bathroom. They're on our fridge. They're on our office. They're all over the house.
So you remind, do you guys ever go back to it like every quarter or like what you do?
So even like, for example, like this weekend, we did some cool, like new experiences. We went to Reptilia in Whitby and we got a VIP behind the scenes tour. And then we were invited to dinner at Bistro 67. We got to have dinner.
Bistro 67, yeah.
Yeah. So Trey was a local chef. He was on MasterChef Canada, first black chef to win. So we got to eat his food. It was amazing. And then after that, I kind of debriefed with Aaron. I'm like, that was pretty cool, like a little Friday date night. And we were talking about it. But one of the things on our vision board is new experiences. And for us, like, that's a pretty new experience.
Yes.
Yeah. I had my first oyster that night and I met some really cool reptiles. So to me, that is like, yeah, that's the new experiences that I want. And that's right. Exactly what I meant when I included that on my vision board.
So in your vision board for 2024, what does creator services look like?
So creator services is like just a steady thing that's continuing to go. I don't like to set expectations that are like too far. I think at one point, like I envisioned having an office, but then I think of like the culture that I create and the people that I like to work with is like, we don't really want to come into an office and work 9 to 5. And I don't know if that's where like a lot of who I work with and I employ are creative. So like videographers, photographers, designers, developers, they don't want to come to an office from 9 to 5, but then I give up on some of the control, right? Like it's harder for me to maintain that stuff, to stay on top of them. But it's this constant balance of like, you're really good at what you do. I want to give you that freedom. But at the end of the day, I think like where I see creator service going is just an way for me to continue to monetize my personal brand. So when I work with influencers, content creators, whatever, and they have that following, usually where they're coming to me is like, I have X amount of followers or this community, but I don't have a way to monetize them. Whereas for me, I have a way to monetize at Segment, and it's through other creators, through other entrepreneurs. And that's where like my day-to-day is so different. I coach influencers across the globe, and that looks like specifically on their content strategy. So I might look at their Instagram and give them some harsh feedback on like, there's no way a brand's going to pick you. And they, you know, they could be massive followers, bigger than me, but where I have that value is as a creator on the brand side and the agency side. So they kind of respect what I have to offer. But yeah.
How do you get the confidence to go to someone that may have 10 million followers and say, no?
Well, I think like there's definitely imposter syndrome through everything I do. Yes. I'll put that out there. Okay. Like, I think we can all relate. Like, there's days that I'm like, what am I doing? Or who is that when I post it? But for me, it's like, this specific job that I'm doing, a friend of mine is in the States and has a online business as an influencer manager. So manages incoming deals for creators, but also has an online coaching program where people pay a pretty hefty amount to meet up bi-weekly and meet with me once a week on Zoom. It's a group setting, but there's other, you know, benefits of being in this course. I'm just kind of like an extra bonus. So it was a friend of mine who approached me and was like, do you want to do this? Because I think you'd be really good at it. I think the confidence to speak to somebody with those numbers is because, and again, I'll go back to my music industry experience, is like those people don't really perceive themselves the way that other people perceive them. So when I'm like putting a wristband on someone that like other people would probably freak out and like maybe perceive them a little bit differently, I've always interacted with people as a human. Mm-hmm. And whether that's like the janitor or the CEO, like a celebrity, someone that I admire or somebody that I really don't admire, I'm still going to treat you the same. Right. So I kind of just take away like the emotions and it's straight business. So it's like what I'm saying shouldn't, you know, be like attacking you or make you feel bad. It's kind of just like that, like, I needed to hear that. And I've always been the guy that just, you know, tells you how it is and with respect at the end of the day, I try.
So on your vision board, I like to hear this because realtors are a little different here. Do you have a monetary goal every year? Because I know realtors will put, I want to make X amount of dollars per year. Do you have that or do you not care about that?
So that's funny. This year we don't. Last year we had a monetary goal. And it's so funny because my partner is in a very salary job. Has a little bit of leeway to like increase that income in private. But like really like his salary is his salary. He's not going to make a ton out of it. So on our vision board in 2023, I looked at the number and it was 250,000. And I was really happy with what I made in that year. And it was like not more than half, but it was 100,000, just over that. So I said to Aaron, where's the other 150,000?
Right.
Like I really didn't understand, like when you break it down to those numbers, it's like that's an impossible goal. So for me, I don't love chasing that monetary value because I think that like this is, you guys are gonna be like, whoa, you're such a hippie. I really do think money is energy. And that's something that like the monetary value, like it's really interesting to me. Like I've lived off of having salaries really low and had what would be perceived as probably like a pretty good life. And then when I make like the highest that I've ever made, it didn't feel different. Like I didn't feel like I necessarily had more or that I had less. I've always sort of played within whatever that salary or whatever that income pocket was.
So you live within your means and stay humble.
So the vision board thing then is primarily just, so it's not about money really. It's truly about moving forward in your life or achieving non-financial goals within your personal life, but also in your married life.
Yeah, it can be, I'm trying to think of like other things like on it is like manifestation and gratefulness and journaling. And we usually have like one word and then a few keywords underneath it to sort of like elaborate on that. So one big thing that we're manifesting and I'm pretty sure it's going to happen is going to Australia. So Australia is like the main hub on it. But what do we want to do in Australia? Like I want to go to Newcastle that is in Australia because I live in Newcastle in Ontario, Canada. Yeah. So it's just one of those like funny things, but it allows me to sort of like flush it out. Yeah.
Very, very interesting there, Brent.
I love how we went down like the vision.
Well, because I think the vision board really...
it ties in.
It ties life in. Like, you know, like, it could be for your business. Oh, yeah. Rian's excited about this stuff too. Raise his arm.
Every entrepreneur is they have some type of goal or a vision board. So I like to see how it varies by industry or whatever it is, right? So, you know, real estate's very... monetary base.
It's,
yeah.
So. Which I, in my opinion, based on what you're saying, probably is not the right approach.
No.
Right?
I think it's good. Like, you want to have that like number, you want to have that trajectory. But I honestly think that when like other things are lined up, like the money flows. Like, there's times where I'm like, oh, like things might be slowing down, and then they just ramp right up. So if you like dwell on that, I really like, this is where like that hippie like side of me comes out. Like, I honestly think like you just have to keep moving the needle forward. And a lot of people might get stuck in a rut, myself included. Like, sometimes you have days where you're like, what am I going to post today? Or like, what am I really doing with my life? But like, as long as you are moving forward, you like what you do, you're good at what you do. And I honestly think like having purpose is a huge part. I know that like when I'm speaking to a potential client or a client and I'm talking about social media, they're like, what the heck? Like, I'm just giving them so much like understanding, or like opening the eyes of like the potential on branding, social media, like building a business and using like global platforms, that I think that's like what I like at the end of the day. So as long as I'm doing that and people are like, you know, happy with like their growth and listening to me, then like that's kind of better than being like, oh, I just got, you know, whatever. But like, the money has to still come, or else you can't do it.
For sure.
Well, I've been advised here. I'm doing it because if I don't, I'm going to get yelled at yet again. Please follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Now, back to your saying. Now, here's my question. On your days off, because the boy who blogs, you know, sort of dances between your business, your personal, and your interests.
Yeah.
On a day off, what does a day off look like to you?
Yeah. So a day off is hard. My accountant asked me where I draw the line on that, because there's certain things that are still moving the needle on that personal brand that are my personal interest. And that's where it gets unique, is when I'm getting, I would say, more than 90% of my clients from my personal brand, not from my business social media, not from my business website. They want to work with Brent, or somebody worked with Brent and they referred Brent. So that's really just showing up on social media. And this is where it goes back to mindset, not selling. I'm not feeling like I need to tell people.
I 100% agree with you.
It's not like, hey, you need to hire me to do your marketing and your branding. Yes, I would love to say that, but that's the content that, as someone who works in social, like when you put that out there, you're less likely to get that engagement on it. But if I put something lighthearted or entertaining or valuable, you're going to engage with that. So comment, like, share, save, respond, whatever. And then more of my salesy stuff is going to come through. I just want to be at the top of your like algorithm when you log into these apps, and you'll be like, oh, there's Brent again. You know what I do.
Right.
You know what I do.
Right. So on a day off, you are always working.
What I'm doing is basically just like considering, like, obviously it's different on an agency. Clients have expectations. Social media is 24/7.
Yes.
But a day off completely, I would be like hiking. I would be eating, baking, chilling with my dog.
What do you bake?
Well, Aaron's more of the baker, but
You just eat it.
No, I contribute. I'm the sous chef when it comes to the baking.
Okay.
And then when it's cooking, he's the sous chef.
Oh, really?
So we're really like into the kitchen for sure.
All right. So then what do you cook? You're a chef, then what do you cook?
Okay. Well, I'm not a chef. Let's not put that on the record. But like last night we had pork schnitzel. So that was good. We got pork tenderloin, very cheap, big slab. And then we cut it up, you know, get frugal with it. And then, we made schnitzel. That's what we had last night. Chicken Caesar salad was dinner tonight. So it just depends. We pre-plan our meals so that, you know, we're eliminating our food waste.
Right.
Interesting. So as we come close to the end here, what's one advice you'd give to somebody that wants to start a business?
I would say just go for it. It's cringy until it works.
I like that, actually.
Yeah.
I do love that. If someone wants to grow their social media profile, I mean, they can go to you, of course. You're the best, in my opinion. Let's say, but they're just starting off. Like, what kind of free advice can you give them to sort of build their profile slowly?
It's harder than it sounds, but it's to put your face and to talk to the audience.
Yes.
That's what builds relationships. One example I'll throw out there, I know we're quick for time, but like if you think of radio and you hear that song and you're like, oh, that artist is getting some good airplay. But if they walked in front of you at the mall, you might not recognize them, but you know them from that song.
Right.
So if you can speak use that audio, use that visual, the connection can be built so much quicker. And I always go back to OG YouTubers. That's where they built those fans, like those really diehards that push for them. Radio, you know, other means, podcasts, like it's a little bit harder, but mix that audio and that visual and just talk to them as if they're the only one you're speaking to is when they start to trust you, like you, respond to you. And then if and when they need your services is when they'll reach out.
Right.
Yeah.
So can you let us know how somebody can find you on social media?
Yeah. My socials are Boy Who Blogs and I'm all across all platforms with the same handle.
Perfect. And your business, does your business have a...
My business does have its own socials and website and it's Creator Services and creatorservices.ca.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Again, thank you, Brett, for coming on here again. Amazing guy to talk to if you're looking at to do anything with marketing, social media wise for your business. I mean, I was referred to Brent by my good friend, Steve Bolton, who praises the ground that you walk on. And also Brent is also good at commenting on something that you're doing wrong. Steve told me that you helped him do his whole brand.
I gave him some feedback.
He did some like post or a story with really bad font and Brent immediately screenshotted it, said to him like, come on now, like make this
I was like, am I stepping on your toes? No, but he appreciated it.
I love that. Yeah. How is our stuff looking?
It's good. I really like that you guys are going heavy on content. And I think like that is something that I have a hard time getting a lot of my clients to see the value in content.
Yes. And for me, it's the non-real estate content that we are focusing on. Because I think people know we're realtors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, the podcast, and now I'm a blogger.
I saw that. That's so fun.
Isn't that funny? I'm blogging about me eating at Oshawa. It's amazing. Yeah.
Benefit because I get food. So.
It's insane. I'm a blogger now. But anyways, but yeah, no, your advice was very helpful. Just post the post. Mm-hmm. And eventually you'll start getting a following. And that's what we're doing.
And it's probably not for your friends and family. That's like the last thing I would say.
Yeah.
Like it's probably not for those people that you're posting for. It's probably for a certain persona and figure that out and reach them.
Yeah, well, thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
The best. And honestly, thank you very much for coming on here. You saved us today, so thank very much appreciated. And I told you, I'll only ever use you. I told you that this morning, and I'm being serious because you saved me today. So I appreciate you very much. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, guys.